Hello and welcome to this audio recording for the Accountant in Business. My name is Ruth Court, and the purpose of this audio is to provide you with an introduction to some topics, to also provide you with the ability to repeat them and see how they link into your further studies. So the areas that I'll be covering within this particular audio will be review and also appraisal of individual performance. First of all, let's think about why we need to review performance. Earlier in F1, you will have covered the need for a business to set objectives and satisfy stakeholder groups. As part of the process of achieving targets, it will be necessary for the organisation to ensure that individual human resources are being utilised and contributing to the achievement of wider aims. Therefore, it's necessary to review the performance of staff at regular intervals. We can define performance appraisal as the regular and systematic review of performance and the assessment of potential with the aim of producing action programs to develop both work and also individuals. And many of you may have been part of this process, either as an appraisee or an appraisor. Now let's think about the types of jobs that we should consider and how we should appraise them. For example, would you review and appraise a sales rep, an accountant, in the same way? Just because it may be more difficult to appraise some types of role does not mean that the organisation should ignore the performance appraisal. Therefore, there needs to be an effective appraisal system to assess the attitudes, behaviour and performance of these individuals. And there needs to be a balance which will include both quantitative measures and also qualitative, which may include a report. There are a variety of criteria, including the volume of work completed, knowledge of work, output of quality, and management skills. It's also important to remember that we also need to evaluate and appraise personal qualities, which can also be a bit more contentious and difficult. Beer et al. Suggests there are four common criteria which can be used to assess performance. These include high commitment, high competence, the ability to be cost effective, which can be evaluated in terms of wages and absenteeism, etc., and also high congruence. This will relate to the internal organisation and may link to the reward systems. It should be remembered that appraisals are the framework, and how you approach the individual could be entirely different. And this is where management need to have their specific skills. There's no one definitive method for appraisal, but they should have similar characteristics which allow the manager to determine how well someone is doing in their job, what their strengths and weaknesses are, what their future needs are relating to training and development, and also the potential for promotion. There is a strong link between control and also the business culture. If you remember, we discussed this in one of the earlier audios. Some organisations will embody a culture of ensuring that appraisals take place regularly and are part of the internal controls. Other businesses may see appraisals as time-consuming and therefore a complete waste of time, but linkages should be made to how the jobs relate to the achievement of organisational objectives, how standards and performance targets can be developed, how to assess these competencies, and also how feedback should be gathered that may in turn contribute towards how that individual is rewarded. The success of appraisal is reliant on controls and standards being set along with the process of feedback. All staff must be aware of the structure to ensure that they know what is expected of them, when appraisals will take place, and also what happens if targets are achieved, and also importantly, when they are not. It's a requirement of your F1 syllabus to have an understanding of the stages of the performance appraisal. There are no common stages, but there is a recognition that the stages will contribute towards an understanding of how well a member of staff is performing. Therefore, the key is to ensure that the stages are clear and consistent. I'm not going to go through all of them, but some of the stages would include identifying the criteria for assessment. I mentioned these earlier on in terms of the level of work and also the competency, assessing that competence in the past, agreeing future goals and development needs, identifying and then agreeing future action points, and of course following up on a regular basis. There are a number of management skills that are required to ensure that an appraisal is successful, and the success of an appraisal is largely due to the manager who holds or takes the appraisal. Therefore, it's important that this person is fully prepared for what they need to do during the review. They will need to be able to develop skills in questioning, listening, persuading, and also verbal communication. We can then develop these skills further to suggest that the manager or supervisor will need to be able to use a variety of techniques to make sure that the appraisal is adapted to that particular individual. So, for example, they may have a tell and sell attitude, an adaptive strategy depending on what is required. And this is often a one-way communication. There is also then tell and listen. The manager listens to the employee without dominating the conversation. But there's also a recognition that to reaffirm the evaluation by telling the employee what needs to be done to resolve a problem. Another skill is joint problem solving. So there were three: tell and sell, tell and listen, and also joint problem solving. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there is no one single way of success. So therefore, the manager must realise that with different individuals, or even with the same individual, they may use different skills. It's also important for us to understand that there may be some barriers to effective appraisal. The management skills are also linked to an understanding that there will be barriers to successful appraisals. They may result in a completely negative view of the appraisal by the employee. And for obvious reasons, this should be avoided. Jay Lockett suggests that there are a number of barriers that may be restrictive in terms of successful appraisals. These will include that the viewer's appraisal is a confrontation, that it may be a judgment, or maybe that it's just an informal chat. Some see it that it's a bureaucracy and too time-consuming. Others, that it's an annual event and therefore doesn't need to be followed up. There is a need, therefore, to overcome these barriers to ensure that the objectives can be met and the employee feels that appraisals are an important part of their own personal development, along with the understanding of how their own personal achievements contribute to the wider business success. Therefore, it's always important during an appraisal to have a system of follow-up, that an agreement is reached as to what should be done next in terms of training and development, and they need to be officially recorded. Action should also be reported to senior management and HR to ensure that the wider perspective of performance is obtained. This will also help to ensure future development. Lockett goes further to suggest that there are five elements that should be considered to ensure that appraisals are successful. These are that all appraisals should be relevant, fair, have serious intent, they are cooperative, and also very efficient. A useful exam reminder about appraisal is that they need to be firm, factual, fair, and frequent. It's important for us to have an understanding of how effective appraisals are both beneficial to the employee and also the employer. For the employer, it helps to identify a promotion route for an individual, linked to their performance targets. It improves competency levels and the ability to deal with daily tasks along with new responsibilities. It's valuable for resource planning, including promotion and also new investment opportunities. It also improves communication between managers and employees, which in turn reduces conflict. And as for the employee, there are also a number of advantages for them. They are able to receive feedback on performance. They also have an opportunity to discuss future plans and promotions in a formal way. It can also improve their own personal competencies and the ability to deal with their own tasks, especially important if they are new to the organisation. It's important then that organisations determine the value and the contribution that appraisals make to the overall business operations. A number of ways of evaluating this can be including calculating the costs and benefits. investigating if there's been any improvements since appraisals have been taken, reviewing feedback documents, analysing the take-up on training and development opportunities, and checking promotion and also succession policies. Also, reviewing factors such as staff turnover and absenteeism will help the organisation to determine the motivation of their staff. Overall, appraisals are seen as a vital way of ensuring that human resources within the organisation are being utilised effectively. There are a number of areas that need to be reviewed and understood within F1, but like many areas, you can use your existing business knowledge to pick up the basic facts. How would you feel when you have a good or a poor session with your line manager? The main elements for you to cover and understand are the purpose and objectives of appraisals, the benefits to the employer and employee, the stages of the review, the importance of feedback, barriers to appraisal, and also how they can be removed. This brings me to the end of this audio recording on performance appraisal.